Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Amen. Well, go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29. Just as you're turning there, let me give you a couple of more announcements. If you plan on being a part of the focus group, then sign up. There are several places that are limited because we have it here on campus, and we have 220 people signed up for focus groups. Come on, give yourselves a hand. Boy, that's weak. Look at your neighbor and say, which group did you sign up for? And look back at him and say, I expect you to be signed up by the end of tonight. Amen. That's exciting. And now I was going to tell you one more thing. And what was that? Focus groups. Oh, next Wednesday, we start. I think we have a total of 20 or 22 right now. We will start our new members class that we'll have next Wednesday and the following Wednesday. I do teach that class. Because I want you to get to know me, I want to get to know you a little bit better. But our space is limited. What do we take? 28 or 30 is about as many as we like to take? 30. So we've got about 20 or 23 right now. So if you plan on doing that, now you may say, well, Pastor, what is that class? Well, it's just something where you learn our vision and you learn about us and we get to learn a little bit about you. Now, that doesn't mean you join the class. It is a prerequisite. I mean, it doesn't mean that you've joined our church as a member. It just means that you've been through the class. But you've got to go through the class before you ever become a member. And so if you go through the class and you go, no, man, y'all are crazy. And I go, we understand. Hey, everybody can't be cool. But if you don't ever become a member of our church, you're more than welcome to come. But membership has its privileges. There are a few things that you can't do if you're not a member. Why? Because the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Amen. So if you haven't signed up, then do so. Come out. You say, well, Pastor, I can't do both Wednesday nights. Well, see me or one of the pastors. We'll work something out with you. But we want to get that information in your hands. All right. The book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. I've already had a few people ask this coming Sunday. We finished up our summer nights. Great movie last Sunday night. 175 here. Great movie. Good popcorn, good hot dogs. I think Roger had 7, you didn't have any. Jane must have been with you, because you're not supposed to be having hot dogs, I don't think, right? Who knows? I'm not gonna say anything, but he went by Hardee's today and got one. But anyway, that's right. Snitches get stitches. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight out of Romans chapter 8, verse 29, on God's purpose in my life. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and I want you to underline this, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, that's what I want to zero in on tonight, conformed to the image of his son. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestine, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word tonight and that you would give us that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, give us ears to hear, a mind to receive. Lord, I thank you for all that you do and all that you have done. And we recognize and understand the power and the glory of God in our lives. But we also recognize that we've got to have the foundation to stand on when the feeling is not there. Because we do not walk by feeling, we walk by faith and not by sight. Can anybody say amen? So I want to talk about God's purpose. Probably the biggest question that I get asked by people all the time is, Pastor, what is my purpose? Let me say something. I don't know. I didn't create you. If you invent something, then only you know what it's really used for. I didn't invent you. God did. He breathed into your nostrils and you became a living soul. So he knows what your purpose is. And the problem, oh, help me. And the problem that we have in America, and I'm sure in the world, is people don't know their worth because they're looking to the wrong person to give them their worth. And when you have something that is not being used in the right capacity, then their worth is not that relevant. And what do you mean by that? There is a, and I've used this analogy several times. There is a small, about this big, this wide, about that thick apparatus that is in Becky's office that we've had around the offices for, I know, at least 12 to 15 years. It was, I had never seen one when she brought it to me. She went to the Goodwill, or she was just shopping and saw this at the Goodwill and bought it for a dollar. She brought it, and it was one of the first ones, I'm sure. We've got a better one now, so that's why it's kind of tucked to the side. But you put a piece of paper in there, and it just boom, zoop, it folds it. But it only had a dollar on it because nobody knew what it was used for. Oh, that'll preach right there. And some of us don't know what our purpose is, so therefore we don't have a value on us. So then we look to our spouse, or we look to the job, or we look to society to tell us what we're worth, and they don't know what you're worth because they did not create you. And it doesn't matter how old or young you are, you still have a purpose. And that purpose, if we find in our text, it is the purpose for which you and I were created, and that was to be conformed to the image of his son. That's where we need to be. The world cannot see except as he is revealed in our life. I want you to catch that. The world cannot understand God's word except as you and I illustrated its power in us. That's what we've got to get to. So here's what I want to get. I think it's my first slide, Mike. Give it to me. Give it to me, baby. You are God's proof. Boy, that's sad, isn't it? Some of y'all look at each other. Boy, that's sad. You are proof that the gospel is truth. You are proof that God exists. Because you can't just change by yourself. You need the power of an almighty God to change you. Because you look around this room tonight and you see changed people. But if you could see them, many, before God ever got a hold of them, you would never dreamed that they used to be the way that they were, but it was the power, the mercy, the grace of God that changed their life and caused them to be who you see today. You are God's proof. You ever tried to witness to people and use the Bible? They don't care. Because they're not even sure if the Bible is truth or not. Well, the Word of God says, well, how do you know the Word of God is truth? Blah, 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 blah. They just go off. When I witness to people, I just tell them what God's done for me. Because listen to this principle. A person with an experience of God is never at the mercy with someone with a theory about God. Oh, hear me now. And the problem that we have, there are a lot of people who have theories, but they've never experienced it. I would rather have somebody who went through medical school that got a C, but has done 435 surgeries successfully, than one guy that go, well, I just got out of school and I got an A. But I've never cut nobody. Give me the guy that's performed 437 surgeries. Am I talking to anybody? So God didn't call you to be his theologian or his lawyer. He called you to be his witness, which is telling people what you see, what you have experienced, and what you've heard. So quit trying to be, you know, well, I'm afraid they're going to ask me questions that I don't understand, that I don't know. Let me help you. I don't know. I was 24 pastoring, and everybody was older than me, and I thought that I had to know all the answers. And if I didn't know the answers, I would skirt it. I'd throw enough bull against the wall that you thought I knew what I was talking about. And then finally, Jesus set me free by going, I don't know. Boy, that's freedom. Try it. Look at your neighbor and go, I don't know. It's freedom, man. When you ain't got to know everything. Now, just look at your neighbor and go, I'm so glad you said that because you don't know everything. So if you and I are God's proof, if we're the proof of God, therefore you and I need to be the most convincing proof available. Well, that puts some pressure on you, won't it? Here's what the Lord spoke to me one day. I'll never forget it. Messed my life up. I was out cutting grass at my yard probably 20 years ago. And the Lord said, if there wasn't a Bible, because as a matter of fact, he spoke it to me as I was cutting my neighbor's yard. They had been out of town, and I wished I could say I did it because I was just such a great guy, but they were making my yard look bad. So I just went over and cut it. And when they got in, they asked all, because I was the newest neighbor, they asked all the other neighbors that they had been living there for 15 years together. He went to one guy and go, man, thank you for cutting my grass. He goes, I didn't cut your grass. He goes, who cut my grass? He goes, that preacher over there cut your grass. Really? Do you know they started coming to church? I buried him. I buried him. He's dead now and she moved away, but I buried him. And they came over, and here's what they said. They said, Pastor, you mowing our grass was such a gesture of Christianity, we could not help but at least come to your church and try it out. And I went, whoa, praise God. Yeah, go ahead and clap. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, that ain't why I did it. I was doing it because you making my yard look bad. I was doing it because I got small kids and I don't want them out there getting bit by a snake that's crawling through your nasty yard that you won't keep up. Now, did I tell them that? No, not until years later. But anyway. A fool speaketh his whole heart. I heard that. That's right. But the reality is, that gesture spoke to that family. And he's dead now, and I don't know, but maybe he's in heaven because of it. I don't know. But here's what I do know, that you and I are God's proof. We love God. We love God through our obedience. We love others through our demonstration of God's truth. How do we show people that God exists? Well, we love God through our obedience. But then we love others through our demonstration of the truth that we have received. What good is truth if you don't ever use it? What good is truth if you don't ever put it into practice? What good is truth if you don't put it down into your spirit and begin to live that life that the Word of God says that we ought to live? What good is it? Because truth is no good until you put it into practice. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free. It is the truth that you have knowledge of. It is the truth that you grab a hold of. It is the truth that you do. I know how to lose weight. I know how to do it. Anybody see that picture I put on Facebook today? Two MMA fighters. Had one in a chokehold. That's the kind of friend I need to keep me from my diet. But I'm going to start tomorrow. But anyway, I know how to do it. but it does me no good if I have the knowledge but don't use it. Don't point at nobody. But how many people do you know that is a wealth of knowledge with no ambition? A wealth of knowledge. I'll never forget Randy Harmon. I was pastoring in Blountstown, Florida, the other church I pastored. And this family needed their house re-roofed. And so I don't know how to re-roof, but I was a good grunt. So I went up there, and we was over there nailing these shingles. I don't know. It was hot, but it had to be, I don't know, about 174. I don't know. But we were nailing these things, and Randy Harmon came up. Randy Harmon came up and just looked up at it. Well, you know all that's wrong right there. You know, I was young. I didn't have the grace that I do now. And I looked at him, I said, Randy Harmon. And I was serious as I could be. I said, son, you might want to go home over there. Well, I'm just saying, Pastor, this whole thing's wrong. I go, do you hear that, Randy? Do you hear it? He goes, what are you talking about? I said, the ambulance coming to get you because I'm about to hit you with this hammer. You better get up out of here. You wasn't here to help us do it. You wasn't here, but you're just going to come and criticize what we did. Right? So having truth is great, but if you don't put it to practice, it's not going to do you no good. All right? Here's what Galatians 5:19 says. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Which are, these are the works of the flesh. Don't get mad at the paper boy. It says adultery. I know what y'all thinking. Oh, that needs to be said on Sunday morning. Okay. But they ain't here. Y'all are. Adultery, what does that mean? That means you married having sex with somebody else that's not your married partner. That's adultery. Some of y'all going, because the next one is fornication. What does that mean? You having sex and you ain't married. Uncleanness. I could go a little further with that, but I'm going to leave it. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness. I can't buy an amen in here this night. I'm wondering if some of y'all drunk. Drunkenness. Well, Pastor, I drink, but I don't get drunk. Well, then what is the standard for drunk? Is it falling down drunk? Or is it .04? Is it Alabama's? What's Florida's? Some of y'all know it because y'all been picked up. How much? What's Florida's? What's Florida? .08. See, you knew. You knew. Mm-hmm. That's why he's over here, not in Fort Pierce no more. They ran him out. So anyway, .08. Is it .04? Is it .6? Is it Louisiana? Who's it? I wonder what is Jesus' number. I'm just saying. And let me just, while I'm on it, since you got me on it, let me just say this. Let's take the gospel out of it, which you can't, but let's take it out for a moment. If you talk to any law enforcement officer, most domestic issues happen over alcohol or alcohol involved. So why would you mess with it? Well, I can handle it. Revelries. and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, you know what but means? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Hallelujah. The works of the flesh are nothing more than the nature of Satan being manifested in the human life. However, the fruit of the Spirit is none other than the nature of God being manifested in the life of the believer. So who do we want? Who and what do we want to manifest? Do we want the nature of God or the nature of the enemy, the nature of Satan? All right? Point one. Image. Let's talk about it a moment. Image. We are born again by the will of God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. And Jesus provided for us the opportunity for us to be born again. Now, when you and I experience new birth, I have began the conforming process of being conformed to the image of His Son. All right, I began the process. I'm trying to help somebody here. I am being conformed. I'm not there yet, but I'm being conformed to the image of His Son. Now, image of the parent comes with birth. You can't change that. Well, I didn't want to look like this. Blame your parent. Every once in a while, you'll see some ugly people with some beautiful children. Every once in a while. Come on, y'all go ahead and judge me all you want to. Y'all know y'all seen some couples talking about, they should not have children. No. No, sir. No, sir. Baby's so ugly, got to tie a pork chop around its head just to get the dog to play with it. Come on, somebody. However, when a newborn baby is born in the flesh, you can see some of the image and or traits of the parent image in that newborn baby. What do? As soon as we see a baby, oh, it's got your nose. Oh, it's got your hands. Oh, whoo, thank God it didn't get your ears. I mean, how many know what I'm talking about? We do that, right? When we look at the baby, and if you are the parent, as soon as you look at the baby, you looking for what looks like you. Right? That's like the poor child, the poor little Asian child that had this weird name, and they go, "How did you come up with that name?" And the daddy said, "Well, he and, you know, I am South Korean and his mother is South Korean, but he came out pure white, Caucasian. And that's why I come up with his name, Sum Ting Wong." Because he couldn't see any of his own image in that baby. He's looking for some Asian features. Why is everybody looking at Brother Cash? What'd you say over there? You probably said something, Roger. Look, he's saying something now. No, I don't need no U-Haul gift certificate. It thrills parents to look in the face of that baby and see something of them. Oh, it's got my eyes. Oh, it's got my nose, you know. And then you know, then when they grow up, they start blaming you for stuff. My children blame me for stuff. Dad, I don't know why you had to give us this nose. I go, I'm sorry. That's the only one I had. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Mama, you gave us these hips. At the instant of our new birth, we have the image of God restored to us, but it's not mature. It's present, but it's not mature. You know, it just dumbfounds me. We go home sometime and we see some of our family and they'll see my girls and they'll go, you know, they go, oh, this one looks just like Ronnie. Oh, you look just like Sherry. And I don't even see it. I don't see Sherry in her and them children at all. No, I'm just kidding, I do. But they'll say, this one looks just like, I don't see that. But they'll see it. They'll see the image of them. And the older they get, the more that they grow into it. And I always say, well, I hope they look more like their mama because I don't make a good-looking man, much less a good-looking woman. Come on. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we behold his face, we are changed into his image. So we want the image of God in our life. But there's a difference between image and likeness. Point number two is likeness. There's a difference between image and likeness. God not only wants his family to be of his image, but also after his likeness. It thrills my heart as a new parent when Jillian was born and then when Lauren was born and I would see my image in them, some of my features in them, but then as they grew, I would see some of my likeness in them. There's a difference. Image is there. You can't change. But likeness takes time and being around someone in order for the likeness to come to pass. You know, for if you're not careful, your children will eat what you eat. Guilty. Right? My children don't like a lot of healthy things. Why? Because I didn't give them healthy things when they were kids. When a baby is born into a home, it has image, but it doesn't have likeness. And what do you mean by that? Here's what. Most parents like to sleep at night. But newborns don't. It don't have likeness. It has image, but not likeness. I'm describing most of the church. We have the image of God, but we haven't conformed and went on to mature to have the likeness of God. And that's where we're falling short, is because we have his image and we look like we should look like God and we favor God, but we don't act like God. We don't act like Jesus because we have yet to get his likeness. Immediately when you take a child home, immediately the home is geared up to serve the baby's needs and help it develop its likeness with yours. I mean, how many remember the first time your baby slept all night? Woo! You got up, did the happy dance. The first night it ever happened, me and my wife were at a hotel. The first night Jillian ever slept all night. And we woke up, and because we had her on the other bed, we're surrounded by pillows. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? And then we woke up, and when I woke up, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I woke up and went, because I was scared. What happened to the baby? We wasn't up. I said, I didn't even go check on the baby. I woke up, Sherry. Did you get up with Jillian? No. Did you get up with? No. Oh, my God. And then we looked over, and she was fine. And then we're like, shut up. Woo. And then she said, well, you know what this means? I said, what? She said, we have to move in here. We have to stay at the Days Inn in Tampa. You do your best to get your baby to take on the things that you like, the things that you like to do, because all families have their own idiosyncrasies. Right? Jesus said, tell everybody the good news. Produce new births. And then he added, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, I'm trying to get everybody. I get everybody's image because of the blood that I shed. But now I get everybody's likeness as they begin to spend time with me and begin to do the things that I ask them to do. I mean, every family in here has little idiosyncrasies that you do that eventually your family members conformed and just got into that line. You, this day and time, we would say that you created a family culture that they just came into. Every church has a culture and that people just began to get into. I'm just trying to tell you that God has a culture too. It's a culture of His Word. It's a culture of right. It's a culture of love. It's a culture of obedience. And if we would get into that culture, can I tell you that things would go easier for us and we would be able to get a lot more things done if we would not only have the image of God, but the likeness of God. Make disciples is what Jesus said. Well, how do I do that? It is to produce His likeness in His believers. I don't know why it's so hard. Oh, I do. Because when you're a baby and you're at home, that's all you do is you're surrounded by family. You're surrounded by that mother, that father. You're surrounded by them, and you can't help because you're with them so long and so often. You see them every day. You interact with them every day, and they pick up what you're laying down. The problem with the church is we don't spend enough time with God and around God to get His likeness in us. We come and we give God a few minutes on Sunday, if you go here, give Him a couple of hours on Sunday and a couple of hours on Wednesday night, but we don't spend any time with Him on a day-to-day basis, and we wonder why we don't look like God and we don't act like God. It's because we're not in His likeness. We are of His image, but not of His likeness. And that's where we need to go. Being a disciple means we produce His likeness in believers. Well, but there's a process. Let me just hit it real quickly and I'll be done. Point number three, process. There's a process in spiritual maturity. God wants us all to be involved in the growing and developing process of becoming His image and being conformed to His likeness. Now let me tell you, Pentecostals, I'm third generation, I can talk about us. We were some of the worst ones about becoming into the image of His likeness. Because all we want to do is come in and jump, buck, and shout, and do. And I love that, and we do that, and we did a lot of it last week. And that is needful. That is needful, hear me. But on the same note, just as much as that is needful, you need to spend some time with God so that it can get into your character and not just in your emotions. That you do what's right even when you don't feel like doing what's right. All right? There's a process. God wants us to be involved in that process. Well, let me just give you three facets of the process. One, talking. Almost as soon as we have the new baby established on our daily schedule, we begin the effort to teach it how to say words. Don't we? Mama, Dada. Dad, dad. And then they say stuff, and it's so cute, you don't even want them to learn how to say it right. I remember Lauren's word was lelo. It was yellow, but it was lelo. I'd be walking down the hall. Hey, what color is that? Lelo. I'd take flashcards with me just so I could have a laugh. What's that? Lelo. And I'll never forget when she started saying yellow. I wanted to go, no, lelo. But I didn't. But after a while, persistence pays off. And they begin to communicate with us and even begins to talk like us, even to the point of taking on our accents. One of the funniest things I've ever, I just love to get around him and talk with him. And I don't get to do it often. Y'all gonna know who I'm talking about. Herman Knapp and Kim Knapp, they adopted a little South Korean, or a little China girl, and they also adopted a South Korean boy. And so they are South Korean and China. They're Asian, and they were living in East Point, Florida. You know, and so they look Chinese, but they talk like this. And it's the funniest thing you ever see in your life. Isaiah, what you gonna do? I'm gonna go over there. And I'm going to get me some of that stuff over there, and I'm going to come and do, and I'm fitting to do this and that, baby, baby. I just crack up laughing. Daddy, what's so funny? Nothing, son. Ronnie ain't right. It's okay. Isaiah, G yet? No, Jew. No, I'm not a Jew. I'm an adopted Jew. Just have fun with them. You know what I'm saying? It's hilarious because it doesn't matter. They have the image of their biological mother and father, but they have the likeness of the person they spent the most time with. How do you think that you could, how do you think that you can turn everything around if you're spending all your time with the wrong type of people and the wrong style of talk and the wrong people are speaking into your life? You need to learn how to talk the way God talks. And the Bible said the promises of God are yea and amen. That you need to begin to speak positive because life and death are in the power of your tongue. And if you'll get around somebody who will speak life, you'll talk life, you'll be life, and you won't be so negative all the time, and you won't be so depressed all the time. Let me get back here with somebody who's a little bit more experienced than me so he can sit me down if I need to. Come here, Brother Cash. Just hold me right here. The problem with some people is that they don't need the devil cast out. They just need to start hanging around a different crowd of people. You think that you need the devil cast out. It ain't the devil. It's your friends. It's the people that you take all, you know. There, I ain't going to call his name. But there was a guy who used to go to our church, and he'd say, well, I'll tell you right now, he wasn't married. Well, I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't put up with that right there. I'd tell her, hit the bricks. And I would always say, and that's why you're not married. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't put up with that. I'll tell you, he had been married once, got divorced. I ain't going to put up with that. I'll just stay single. I ain't going to do it. He got married, and everything he ever said, he turned it around. I'll never forget old Dave Blackshear. My Lord, I still laugh about it to this day. We were in Maximum Assault. He'd been married a long time. We was in Maximum Assault. This man was having trouble with his wife, and we went up to pray around him. That's what we do at Maximum Assault. You know, and he didn't say everything that was going on with his spouse, but he told us he was having marital trouble, so we would come around to pray for him. And David, with all sincerity, David said, Lord, just help him to learn how to say yes, dear. I literally had to walk away. I was laughing so hard. The Spirit of God was nowhere on me, but it was just so funny. I've told that story many times, but I've never given the name. But it was David Blackshear. But God, it was funny. I just had to walk away. And everybody thought I was getting a blessing because I was over here going. I heard somebody in the background go, yes, touch him, Lord, touch him, touch him. You know what happens? You can't wait for the baby to talk and walk, and then when they start doing it, you can't wait for them to shut up and sit down. The baby will continue to enlarge its vocabulary for life, but it will speak like its parents most of the time. I've been away from Mobile for 30 years. I go back to Mobile. I get around my family, and my children always just start laughing at me. When they start laughing, I know what happened. I've just went right back into the old way that I used to talk. Because we call everybody boy. We call everybody son. Hey, son, what you doing? Hey, boy, what you doing? Hey, son. And I go right back to that old Alabama, you know, Mobile, Alabama lingo, slang, and I begin to use all that. And they start laughing, and I go, I'm doing it. And they go, yeah, daddy, you're doing it. I'm like, shut up. Because I worked at changing it. See, so many of y'all think stuff just happens by osmosis. Sister Bobby, how'd you learn how to pray like that? Oh, I just woke up one day. I could just pray. I don't know what happened. I went up front and somebody laid their hands on me. I fell up. When I fell out, when I came back up, I could pray like I could pray. Sister Carpenter, my God, I almost called you Sister Lee. My Sister Carpenter, how did you learn how to teach the way you taught? Oh, I don't know. I just woke up one day and it was there. I just woke up and things were flowing out of me. I go, oh my God. Look at me, I'm a teacher. No, you cultivate it. You cultivate it. You cultivate it. How'd you get to be so godly? Well, let me talk to somebody who's godly. I wasn't talking about Vicky. Why aren't y'all consoling her? You know, I'm messing with you. But you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, a wise old man said this to me one day, that he found out that usually old mean people usually were young mean people. A wise old man said that to me one day. Is that right, Roger? Anyway, see, if you're mean when you're young, you're going to be mean when you're old. All right. If you're a child of God, you need to learn how to speak like God.
Well, Pastor, I don't know how to speak like God.
It's because you haven't read His will and testament. You know, I've got some old videos, and I was going through some old videos, 30 years old. Matter of fact, I've got a couple of on there when I first got saved, and I was shouting, man. And my brother-in-law would give me a word of prophecy, and he would prophesy in King James Version. For the Lord would say unto thee, that thy life and thy mind die. And hitheth and hitheth and hitheth and hitheth. And things progress, you know. But you learn how to talk like God. And I'm not just talking about accents, but I'm not talking about even because, you know, the northerners have a way of speaking different than we do. You know, theirs is not right. There's no such thing as a kai. Kai. That's what I do when I let kai in a kai. In a garage. Park the kai. You know, we have the real words. Fisita. We got that. We know what that is. Fisita. I'm fisting to go over here and do this. But you speak the way God speaks. With the attitude that God speaks. You speak life instead of death. When something happens, No, in the name of Jesus. You know, I was with my brother this past week, and one of them, and he said, well, you know, knock on wood. I said, you knock on all the wood you want to, Doc. You knock on wood until your knuckles are bruised. I said, it's the glory of God and the blessing of God. As we learn God's word, we begin to speak it back to Him, and the world will know us because we speak like the Father. Listen, if you speak with a foul mouth all the time, that ain't the way my God speaks. Learn the way He speaks. All right. I have no idea where I'm at. What's next? Okay, walking. A baby sees adults walk, so the baby desires to walk too. And we spend hours helping develop strength, balance, and coordination for walking. And finally it happens, the baby walks, and now it's more like the parents. All right? The Bible teaches us to walk like our Father, and as we learn to walk like Him, we have the privilege of not only walking like Him, but we walk with Him. Hallelujah. After a while, they walk and talk adequately enough for some responsibility. How many remember when your children got to the point that they could take on some responsibility? I'll never forget, Jillian was like 7. And she came in there, and Mama was cleaning up the dishes, and she goes, "Mom, could I load the dishwasher?" Sherry spoke in some tongues and said, "Yes, baby, yes, yes, darling." And I said, "Oh, there," go, "Oh, you know not what you do." And then, you know, from then on, she helped to load the dishwasher. It didn't take long for her to get tired of that. But as we grow in God and we walk with God and we talk with God and we walk like God and we talk like God, as we are faithful to learn, He begins to send us on errands. Remember when your child started driving? Oh! You hated it at first. But that first time you thought, "I need milk." Yeah. "Hey, go get some milk." I don't want to. I didn't ask you. I said, "Go get it." "I don't want to go. That's why I'm not. I'm the parent. You're going." It's incredible. "Your sister needs to be picked up." "Well, Mama, I'm doing something." "I don't care. Go pick up your sister." "If you don't go pick up your sister, you're going to pick yourself up." It's incredible. So when we get to that point, God begins to go, "You go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." He says, and notice, when I would send my children to do something, I would send them with my authority. Why? Because they would have my car. And they would have my credit card. And they would have my authority. And when God gets ready to send you to do something, you go in His authority. Because you got His power. You got His might. You got His name. And I don't come to you by as Ronnie Reed now. I come to you by the power and the authority of Almighty God. Hallelujah. All right, let me bring this thing to a close. I get 3 of them, right? Last thing, I've already been hitting it, working. You begin to do the work. You begin to help mom and dad with a different task. You know, I thought about, there was a neighbor of mine, and he had 3 boys, and he was a school teacher. His wife was a school teacher. Then he also drove for a pizza place to make extra money, and his grass would get up about this high. And all of his boys were teenagers. I'm telling y'all, the Southerner come out in me. And I wanted to go jerk a knot in somebody. And it come on me, "Well, I ought to go cut his grass." I said, "Not as long as them sorry teenagers will not get out and do it." You know what I'm saying? They were not raised to help the father. So all they did was sit back and play video games and sit in the air condition while the father did everything. Boy, it sounds like old time Pentecostals. That we don't want to do nothing. We want God to do everything. But God has said, "I am trying to mature us so that we can help God do. We can be the hands and the feet of God and do what God needs done on this earth." And we're not doing it by our own power now. We're doing it by the power of God, the authority of God, on the credit of God, and on the anointing of God. And we can get it done. Right? But we've got to do it. But we cannot just sit back and expect God to do everything. "Lord, Bless me, Lord. Hey, listen, I need you to work some overtime. Oh, I can't do that. Lord, I need a financial blessing. Lord, just touch me. Hey, I'm going to need you to come in early. Oh no, I ain't going to do that. No, I'm not. Lord, oh, I work enough. I am not working anymore. Does it make sense to us? Let's work with the plan of God. The faithful child gets more privileges and matures much faster as they demonstrate an eagerness to be like us. My God, somebody hear me. You know, there's a friend of mine, and his kids would come to him and say, Dad, you don't treat me like you treat so-and-so. And the dad is such a great dad. They're older now, and both kids are really good kids and great families. And here's what he would say to them. He goes, when you start acting at the place where I can trust you like I trust them, then I will give you what I gave them. See, that's where we messed up. We think, well, we're Americans. We deserve. No. When you start being responsible with what I've already given you to be responsible for, then I'll give you more so that you can handle more. If you can't be home on time at here, how am I going to make your curfew even further when I can't trust you to do the little? Am I not talking to anybody? And God is saying, how can I give you the power to set the captive free when you won't even do what I ask you to do now? You won't give God, you won't give me a dime out of a dollar. I'm telling y'all right now, it would not have done good for Ronnie Reed if God would have gave me the power to part water. I'd be down in Crystal River every day. Hey, y'all watch this. That boat that sunk, let me see that in Kings Bay. There's a boat that sunk. I wonder what that boat looks like. Watch this. He can't trust me with that. That's why I don't have that power. But I've got to prove worthy of the trust that he's already given me. We have to prove worthy of the trust that he gives us. He restores image to us through new birth. He restores image to us through new birth. You have the image of God. But we have to work on the likeness of the Lord. Likeness is developed through that ugly word, discipleship. If you don't know what God thinks, how do you know that you're pleasing him? You know, our staff, and we've got long-term staff. This October, we'll be celebrating. PJ's been with us for 10 years. Amen. Becky's been with us 7 years. Diana's been with us 3 years. Roger's been with us going on 4 years. Steve's been with us coming up on 3 years. So we've got some longevity. But what is cool is when, yeah, William's been with us how long? Well, since Dirk. 12 years. 15 years. And what's cool is sometimes we have conversations and something along these lines come out. Something like this. Well, I couldn't get a hold of you, Pastor, so I just did what I thought you would do. And it was exactly what I would have done. Because we spend time with each other. We talk to each other. They know in some ways how I think. They don't want to know exactly how I think because they're scared of that. And I've told them to be very afraid. But they, am I making sense to you? They're learning me and I'm learning them. I know that I can trust this one with that one with this one. I know that I can't have Roger go get donuts. Because there'll be a couple of missing when it gets back. No, that was the CAMS program, wasn't it? That was the CAMS program. I know that if I bring coffee, doesn't matter what kind it is, Rodney's going to drink it. Rodney's been with us how long now? 3 years? 3 years? That's what God wants from us. That we just begin to do what God would do. Not just have a what would Jesus do lapel pin or what would Jesus do bumper sticker. But we know what God would do. And then we make it happen. We're in His image. Let's get in His likeness. Come on, stand to your feet. I've went way over. When I was putting this message together this afternoon, I thought it was going to be a 25-minute message. Never is a 25-minute message. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands with me. Lord, I worship You. I'm going to ask a question that I could probably do it a lot different and have a better response to this altar. But I just want to get in your face because it's late and I got to hurry. I just want to get in your face real quickly. You know, Wednesday night, probably everybody's saved, has the image of God. But how many of us knows that, man, I need to work on the likeness? I need to work on the likeness. And if you know that, just step out. Matter of fact, I'm going to be the first. I know I need to work on the likeness of God. Lord, I want to be like You. I don't want to just have Your image. I want to have Your likeness. You thought I was worth saving, but You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so You sacrificed Your life so I could be free, so I could be whole. I could tell everyone I know You thought I was worth saving.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.